This is Celtic Music Radio, online at celticmusicradio.net and to Glasgow on 1530 AM medium wave.
Jigs, reels, girls.
Thank fuck it's Friday on Celtic Music Radio.
Stop and say hello there. You can chase the blues away if you will only learn to say hello there. You can make a sky of grey as bright as the dawn if you shake a hand and say, well, how is it gone? The world will be a better place if everybody smiles and says hello there. Mac, Obama, Jones or Smith, no matter, simply greet them with hello there. Frenchies greet each other, come on, tally-boo. The English folks are famous for their how-to-do-boo. But we prepare the fun to say a folks who meet the Glasgow way, hello there. Hello.
A taste of honey, tasting much sweeter than wine. Do-do-do.
Deep breath. Taste of Honey from the Beatles, of course, and The Honey Thief from Hipsway. I don't know where these tunes came up. They just came to mind for some unknown reason.
I thought that was a great intro, and I'd forgotten that one. It took me back to my childhood, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, completely.
Beatles or Stones? Or was it the Hipsway you were talking about?
The Stones.
Right, well, it's been nice having you in, Warren, and... No, the guest tonight is Warren Bader, who is from Plan B. And I thought this would be a really interesting evening because we hear in the news all over the place the problem that the world's having with bees. Why bees? Why are they important and what's happening to them?
Well, they're firstly, they're important because they pollinate a lot of our food that we need to exist. Not that we could still get by, but our choice of things to eat would be quite severely limited. Basically, this problem has started from post-war when we farmers introduced artificial fertilizers and took away using natural fertilizers like alfalfa, clover as nitrogen fixers. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the many problems that we're encountering at the moment. The other things that we are slowly taking away, we're building on a lot of greenfield sites, and that is causing a diminishing of foraging.
Yeah, there's no food for them.
Food for them, and bees, like human beings, like to have a balanced diet. And for them, a balanced diet is a good variety of different flowers and nectars to forage on.
And presumably then the kind of systematic planting of things like rapeseed and whatnot then kind of narrows the diet as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the growing of monocultures is a particular problem. It's the equivalent of me feeding you jelly babies for 6 months. You're not going to be...
No, I might quite like that. No, it wouldn't be good.
But it wouldn't be good. And so that's where it is when we talk about a balanced diet, and bees need a variety of different sources of nectar and pollen. And just with the industrialization of agriculture and the growing population, farmers are now forced to plant right up to their margins. So there's no margins anymore where wildflowers like dandelions used to exist. These are no longer happening.
So that's back again to all this opening up and taking the hedgerows away as well. So,
well, absolutely, taking away hedgerows, and it's not just honeybees; it's bumblebees. It's all sorts of wildlife that we're really dependent on. I mean, man is 100% reliant on nature. What would you pay for a lungful of fresh air? You know, what price do you put on it? And an example of this would be, Glasgow as a city has been built on nature. We built the city on next to a river, and as we progressed, we brought in cotton from the colonies and tobacco, sugar. And then we've mined iron and steel, to export fantastic locomotives around the world and tracks. In my native country, South Africa, I clearly remember many of the steam locomotives always came from Glasgow. It's quite bizarre that I ended up here.
We'll come back to that because that's probably quite an interesting kind of thing to talk about, what brought you here, but we'll come to that.
Thank you.
A wee bit of music, maybe?
I think so.
You've chosen a lot of tonight's music, which is great, because it was less work for me, to be honest. And it suits me as well, because we're kind of going to play a lot of kind of 80s Scottish music as well, which is right up my street as well.
The best of Scotland music, the 80s.
Yep, aye. And I've got Big Country, and there was two you put forward, so we'll maybe just pick the one.
You go and for it.
No, I'll let you pick.
I'm your guest.
Pick one or two, then.
Two.
In a Big Country, then?
Yes.
There we go. Shot! A wee bit of Big Country, which was suggested, as are a lot of the tunes this evening, by my guest Warden Bader, who is from Plan B, and that's what we're talking about today. We're finding out what Plan B is all about, because, you know, a lot of people don't have a Plan B. It's good that you've got one.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I've got one because I think we need one. Mm-hmm. I mean, people keep on talking about the issues about sustainability, and sustainability means so many different things to different people. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that if we start with the basics and small things like bees, we can actually learn a lot. Bees can teach us huge amounts.
We do tend to not look at things holistically, and it's this issue, that issue, and, you know, we're talking about rapeseed there and things like GM crops and all that kind of stuff, because we need to do this and it's the next progression of things without necessarily looking at what, you know, the consequences of that kind of stuff are, or how things affect other things that you think in, you know, Britain in particular. We're kind of a bit short on land, so it's build where you can.
Absolutely.
You know, has the knock-on effect you were talking about there. So,
I mean, there's a house. The problem is that we do have a housing shortage in the UK, and that is encouraging more and more developers to try and get access to greenfield sites.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot to try and get hold of these sites. And by doing that, you're taking away foraging areas for all sorts of wildlife, and particularly insect pollinators. If you look at some of the consequences of what's happening with global warming and the recent flooding in Somerset, we don't know what the consequences yet of what that's going to be for the bumblebee colonies who nest in the ground over winter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they
would have all been drowned.
Yeah.
So, but nobody's talking about that. Government hasn't even mentioned that problem yet.
No.
It's interesting,
isn't
it?
It's worrying, isn't it? Let's just have a wee talk about your background and just where this kind of plan B, your plan B, because listeners will have noticed that the accent is South African, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Born and bred in sunny South Africa, and at the tender age of 37, I made my journey over to the sunny skies of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
I was a commercials and music video producer in South Africa, and I was very, very fortunate to have got into that industry, and even more so because it enabled me to travel quite extensively in Africa and the Indian Ocean Islands. So I've seen a lot of nature and a lot of beauty that the world has to offer.
Yeah.
And then arrived in London, worked in London for 3 years, and I got a job offer to come up to live in Scotland.
And just grabbed at it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted out of London. I thought, Scotland offered some quiet and peace and fresh air. And I never forget when I first moved here how soft the shower water was after living in London. You didn't have to use like a whole jar of body wash to try and get up a lather.
So there's some practical things to it as
Absolutely. And when you made a cup of tea in Scotland, you didn't have lime scale one, you know what I mean, as you get in London from the over-treated water.
You're talking there about music videos.
Yes.
If we were tuned into MTV, is there any kind of things we might recognise then that you were involved with?
Yeah, I mean, you might be a bit too young to remember a lady called Tina Turner.
Oh, but I love Tina Turner. Aye.
I was very, very, very fortunate to have produced the launch video of her world tour, Goldeneye, from South Africa. Uh-huh. And that was probably one of the most incredible experiences of my life. purely to be able to charter a Learjet was quite something novel for somebody who had come from very diminished circumstances as growing up. So it was quite a change around. But
did you get to ride in the Learjet, or did you just charter it?
Oh, I just chartered it. These people have entourages. They're a lot of people.
I bet you kept the receipt for it, though, so you could go, yeah, look, I've hired it.
Absolutely, I've got it framed.
Magnificent. I mean, a show like that, you know, must have been, tremendous.
It was an experience, and taking it out, filming. We closed off Table Mountain for a day.
Yeah.
Because then we had her on top of Table Mountain singing, and we had about three helicopters mounted with cameras to shoot the sequence. So it was quite all round. It was an experience.
Brilliant. Quite surreal.
It was completely, it was just, it was a surreal kind of world to live in to be a part of. And I was really fortunate to have worked with some of the cream of international directing talent, like Paul Weiland and Ridley Scott and Associates and Tarzim. And then worked with a very young boy band from Ireland who were quite unknown at the time, and they were called Boyzone.
Is this where we move swiftly on?
This is very quick. We won't go there, but it was a treat, and it was something to put on the CV anyway.
I'm trying to see what pop music we've got on here that maybe with a wee bit more quality to it, and maybe homegrown. Do you remember the list you sent me?
Oh, I can't.
I tell you what, why don't we have some Edwyn Collins?
Ah, yes.
Well, we could go with, we've got 2 here, haven't we? Should we go with Edwyn Collins, or should we have a little beverage, some orange juice?
Orange juice.
Orange juice. Rip it up.
Stay up to date with your favourite radio station by signing up for our email newsletter. Hear about forthcoming guests, events and albums of the week sent directly to your mailbox. Simply fill out the newsletter form at CelticMusicRadio.net to be included in the list. Celtic Music Radio will never share your details. So stay in touch with all the latest and sign up to our newsletter today.
Make Mother's Day, that Sunday the 30th of March, a very special day for her by giving her a National Garden gift voucher. We've got a £50 voucher for you to win and give to her. The voucher can be redeemed at over 2,000 leading garden centres and gardening outlets throughout the UK. Visit all the W's, thevouchergarden.co.uk for full details. So, to win this voucher, please tell us, who is the singing mother of Scots singer Adam McCulloch? Now, Mrs. McCulloch won't qualify, no, we want her first name. So, again, the question. Who is the singing mother of the Scots singer Adam
McCulloch? The Edinburgh International.
Email your answers to competition at CelticMusicRadio.net and the winner will be drawn on Mother's Day, that's Sunday the 30th of March, during Sandy's Sunday Roast.
The Edinburgh International Harp Festival. Come join us for a magical series of events celebrating everything harp in the beautiful surroundings of Merchiston Castle School from the 4th to the 9th of April in Edinburgh. The strings of the harp will be singing out from this year's festival for all to hear. So find out more and book online at harpfestival.co.uk and of course keep tuned to Celtic Music Radio, who will be broadcasting direct from the festival.
Lassoing the Bees there from Rory McLeod. And before we go any further, I need to give partial production credit to Sandy Semyonov, who does our Planet Waves programme on a Tuesday night. He's kindly supplied some of the Bee tunes.
This is very good.
So it's been a team effort, this show. Team effort. Shall we say hello to all the folkers on Facebook and mention that you can contact us, studio@celticmusicradio.net, if you want to give us a wee email in. The Facebook page is Thank Folk It's Friday. Just onto facebook.com and search for it. I'm sure you'll find it. It's good stuff. Listeners from all over the place. We've got Finland, you were asking earlier on.
Yes.
Finland, Edinburgh, Bells Hill.
Lovely. We like Bells Hill. I'm based near there.
Right, okay. I won't say anything else then. To Robin, who's up in Brechin, to Aileen in Edinburgh, and everybody else that's out there. Christy, Christy's not listening, and she's in Long Beach, California. She'll be on the catch-up later. Ah. She's away out doing Paddy's Day stuff in California, so it's all right for some. And Les Mahigo as well. We should mention Craig as well. A mutual friend that we just kind of found out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good old Craig.
Yep.
Was very inspirational at the start of my journey. Gave a lot of good marketing advice because I was, when I started the company, I was managed to secure a place on the first ever Entrepreneurial Spark, which was launched by Lord Hawke and Sir Tom Hunter, and situated in Glasgow. And there were a lot of mentors that were brought in who came in, free of charge to help, and Craig was one of them. Mm-hmm. So it's we have a long history.
He's almost from your neck of the woods as well, if Melbourne's certainly closer to South Africa than it is to... I don't know why all these people come from warm, sunny climes to Scotland. What do you think's in that?
I think it's Celtic Music Radio that brings them closer.
You can come back again.
Thank you.
So, the catalyst then, if you like, for Plan B then, what was the thinking behind it?
Oh, well, basically it was to raise awareness of the issues surrounding honeybees, because there's been a 50% drop in colonies in the UK and 20% drop in the whole of the EU. And basically it's becoming a bit of a worldwide phenomena. In America, they're having acute problems with... what is called colony collapse disorder.
Mm-hmm. What happens?
Well, the bees just don't return back to the hive. They, or else they're found dead. A lot of them are found dead. Some there's very varying. Some of the colonies just disappear. They never come back to the hive. And in other instances, a lot of them the bees are found dead within the hive.
Mm.
And this could be a lot of, nobody knows yet, there's a lot of research that's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for the American economy, it's particularly bad because beekeepers in America charge about $145 a hive to pollinate the almond trees, mm-hmm. the apple trees. The almond industry is... very lucrative for mm-hmm. America. It's quite a big industry.
Mm-hmm. And the bees are obviously then on top of the almond industry as well. Then,
well, absolutely. Kind of the thing. Key to the... Because bees don't intentionally go out and pollinate. They mm-hmm. do it as a matter of course for their own good. It's not
kind of a byproduct of them feeding, really. Yeah.
Well, we're just mutual. We're just beneficiaries of their ability to forage and seek out pollen and nectar mm-hmm. for their own use.
Yeah. How does the bee going back to the hive kind of thing work? Is that a kind of homing instinct or whatnot? Is how does?
Yeah. I mean, they work on. The degree of the sun, and that is their routing program
mm-hmm.
Back and forth to the hive. And they also come back, when they come back from a foraging trip, they will advise all the other forager bees where to go and find their...
So it's kind of a mass kind of radar type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they once they're in the hive, they do a thing, what beekeepers call the waggle dance. We won't do it in the studio.
Oh, no, come on, let's get the webcam out.
But they do something called a waggle dance, and that tells the other forager bees where to go and find the source of nectar or pollen.
Uh-huh.
They're an incredible organism. You know, it's a real super organism.
So on top of the awareness thing, something you also do is that you, I'm going to say fund hives, but you can talk about how that bit actually works. So you have hives dotted around about Scotland, and how does that kind of work?
Yes, well, companies or organisations adopt hives from our company, and we provide a managed service, so it's completely hassle-free for whoever wants to rent our beehives.
Mm-hmm.
And they get 24 jars of lovely bespoke labelled honey out of their hive.
I will hold this up to the microphone.
Absolutely, so that I want to hear good comments about our lovely honey. But clients, organisations can do basically their little bit for helping their local environment. And the adopting a beehive is possibly one of the quickest ways and fastest ways to help your local environment, because bees not only pollinate flowers, but they pollinate trees.
Mm-hmm. So you've got all that going on. What if I've got quite a big garden.
Yes.
What if I fancied a hive in my garden? How would that work?
Well, we would come and do a reconnaissance of your garden and advise you as to where to site the hive. Mm-hmm. Bees fly for up to 3 miles from their hive.
So you're looking at the what's available in the area?
In the area for them to forage in.
Yeah.
Basically, and once we've sussed your venue out, we will come in and bring the bees, and you can have them branded if you want with your own corporate logo for organisations. Can have them branded, and we encourage companies to do this and to engage on social media and let people know what they're doing to help the environment and also the bee population.
It was quite interesting, if you are listening and happen to own a company and are thinking along these lines about what your environmental issues and what you should be doing about that, is I've seen kind of pictures on your website, planbelimited.com, just getting that in there for you.
Thank you.
Of, I don't know, say, you know, you're I guess in an out of town kind of industrial park where you've got a big car park or something, you could actually have hives around about that with your company logo and all that kind of stuff on it. And
absolutely. Yeah. It's a nice, neat way of advertising and highlighting what you're doing for the environment. We can also, at Plan B, we can create projects for organisations to engage with communities through sponsorship of beehives to local schools or local communities. And that's what it's about. It's about companies becoming better corporate citizens, and it's making taking CSR and making it actually work, so that it's not just words on a website or a company brochure.
Yeah.
It's actual positive action.
Yeah, and I guess then if you're also kind of inner city, then or inner city garden, and maybe my garden's not suitable for it or the area, is that if I was still interested, then I could sponsor a hive somewhere else.
You could sponsor, people can dedicate a hive, so you can dedicate a hive and for an auspicious birthday or a wedding or a birth of a grandchild, or even if somebody's passed away, instead of putting a plaque on a park bench, you can get a plaque on a beehive. And people still get honey out of it, and it's get certificate and photographs, and they can come and visit their hive and have some time with myself and one of my apprentices at the beehive. And it's quite exciting. People are really it's quite an enlightening experience for a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay, some more music, I think. Again, I've got two tracks here from The Proclaimers. What do you fancy? We've got Letter from America or Sunshine on Leith.
I think Letter from America for me.
Let's do that. Proclaimers there from Leith and a wee letter to America. Don't know what price a stamp you need these days for America. Any ideas?
I don't know, but it's very expensive these days, posting of anything.
And if you happen to, let's not go there, will we? Let's not go there. So what we're having a wee talk there, because I think this is quite interesting as well. The big buzzword at the moment, if you excuse the pun, that just came out, honest guff, wasn't thought of in the slightest, is this corporate responsibility kind of mantra, I guess, whatever it is at the moment. And there's lots of different kind of schemes and whatnot there that particularly the corporate world can get involved in. What's the difference between the others and what Plan B is trying to do?
Well, Plan B is about positive local impact, and it's about legacy, and it's about return on involvement. So the more involved organizations are in their local communities, the better their perception is going to be to the public and to the local communities. The difference is that if the more companies are involved, the better off they are. We've seen today the younger generation are easily mobilized, and they're looking to, they have some key things that are very important to them, and that the environment and ethical are very high priorities on their list. And evidence of this is when some coffee chains were found not to have paid taxes. We saw how quickly the youth mobilized through social media and boycotted. So that comes into what, it's about being a good corporate citizen within your community. And one of the companies I work for, Balfour Beatty, who built a fantastic school in North Lanarkshire in Coatbridge, aptly named the school is named St. Ambrose. They've paid for Plan B to provide two hives and instruction over 5 years into the student body. And this is a fantastic initiative. It's very simple, but it's very effective because it ties in with the curriculum for excellence and ties into the biology class.
Yep.
But not only that, the honey that's harvested can be used in the home economics, and mathematics departments can become involved, music departments can become involved. And it's not just St. Ambrose and Buchanan High School share the same campus. Mm-hmm. So it's the Balfour Beatty gave it to both schools. And I'm particularly pleased to have the opportunity to work with both those schools, because Buchanan is an assisted special learning school. And that's something that's very close to my heart.
Cool. And it's great that then the kids can get involved with and learn about what the issues are.
They can
with that, from start to kind of finish.
Absolutely, they can learn about firsthand, and they can get up close and so to speak personal with with the bees and the beehives, and actually see the waggle dance, see the pollen being brought in. But it opens up the opportunities to offer alternative thinking to careers. And so it's not just to be a brickie or a plasterer or a doctor or an accountant, but I think that we need to start thinking about going back to some more traditional skills and crafts and so forth.
There was one interesting statistic, get the right bit of paper, that there's been something like a 65% decline in bee farmers in Scotland over the past 20 years. Mm. So I guess teaching the kids about it, it opens up that as maybe a future business as well, that they can go into and stop that decline.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I think it just gives them an idea that that there are, being a craftsman or an artisan craftsman does open up alternative thoughts of a career. Today, as we all know, people are like having to work on 0-hour contracts and things like that. And it does open up the opportunity for people to become entrepreneurial and to have their own little business as well. And I think that's quite key to what we're trying to do and get students to become aware of.
Yeah, it's inspiring, actually. You should go read the website, planblimited.com, because there's some cracking stuff on there. Right, some more music then. We've done, should we get loud?
Yes.
Get a bit loud.
Definitely.
Primal Scream.
Okay.
Yeah. Rocks. This is folk, by the way. We'll be right back.
shaking now, now. Get them up downtown. Get your rocks off, get your rocks off, honey. Shaking now, now.
There you go, cracking the Celtic rock tune there, Rocks from Primal Scream. We'll take a wee break from Honey just for a wee, well, almost a wee break from Honey for a wee minute, and it's time in the show to play our Folk or Not tunes, and there was two this week simply because I posted one and then thought, no, actually I want to use the other one, so we've got two instead. So we'll play these and see if you think they're folk or not. The first one is Nina Simone, I Wish I Knew How to Feel to Be Free, which was written in 19... I'm going to get this wrong now, I've not got it in front of me, 1963, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't necessarily written for the civil rights movement in America, but it's certainly... To me, it became one of those tunes that you know, became part of the movement. So to me, it's definitely a folk tune. It's not working that way with those out there, but well, I might pull a veto on that one. I don't know.
Okay.
And the second one we chose, in with theme, was a good old Arthur Askey and the Bee song.
Oh, lovely.
So we shall play them, and then okay. We'll have a wee look at the comments.
Thank you.
Remove all the bars that keep us apart.